all of you. All right, welcome to the house of God. Welcome this morning. There's no children church, so we will go straight into the scripture. James chapter 1, James chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 12, please. So please turn your Bible to James chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 12. All right, James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the sheep. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body, and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Every kind of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God the Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevine bear figs? Does no spring yield both salt water and fresh? Lord, thank you for this portion of the scripture. Lord, I just pray for your anointing to be upon my lips. I shall speak your word, and Lord, that you will begin to convict and change our life. So I pray for these people, and as the word is spoken, the anointing will be so strong that it will remove burden and destroy yoke in our life. So Lord, we believe that your word is alive, Lord. It's empowered to do your purpose and your will, and it shall not return to you void. So I pray that you prepare our hearts to receive your word. Circumcise our ear, circumcise our heart, that we may receive your word, and it will make an impact in our life. So Lord, this morning, we want to glorify the Father and the Son. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you to accomplish these things for God's glory. And I pray, Father, Lord, that the people, Lord, as they hear this word, they will be so convicted. They will take the necessary step to make changes in their life. So we submit and commit this morning service to you in Jesus' most precious name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, there are quite a number of practical issues that churches and Christians need to be aware of. And these are being discussed in the book of James. The book of James is a very, very practical book, because most of the issues discussed here have to do with the practice of Christianity rather than theology. Now, for that reason, I started this series about 3 weeks ago. And the various topics that have been covered so far, part one was on the topic of partiality. Part two was on faith and action. It was last week. And today is part three of the sermon, the use of our tongue. Now, the passage starts off by saying, verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And God is discouraging us, or James is discouraging us from becoming teachers. Now, this is a surprising statement because, as you know, teacher is one of the 5 gifts of the ascended Christ to his church. For those who are not aware, the 5 gifts that the Lord has given the church are as follows: apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors. And so you have thought that since it's one of the major five gifts that God has given, the right thing to do is to encourage people to become a teachers of God's word. So the question, number one question I want to raise is, why James discourages us from becoming teachers or preachers? Now, there are at least three reasons that I'll give you. Number one, teachers and preachers will receive stricter judgment, as mentioned in verse 1, than ordinary or normal Christian. Now, some people think that it's a very cool thing to become one of the fivefold ministers of God, either to be an apostle, prophets, evangelists, teachers, or pastors, as spokesmen for God to teach and to preach. Now, to teach a congregation is a very sober and solemn task that most of us realize. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 19, that those who teach men but break the least commandment shall be the least in the kingdom of heaven. But those who teach and practice them shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. And so for those hypocritical teachers and preachers who teach us one thing but practice the opposite behind the scene, it is far better for them not to teach or to preach, because they will receive a far more severe judgment. So while it is an honor to be called into one of the five major gifting of Christ, it is also a very heavy responsibility. Now, because higher appointments comes with higher accountability. For faithful service, you get a great reward. For unfaithful service, you get severe penalty in heaven. And so what is the connection between teachers or preachers with tongues? And so the number two reason is preachers and teachers talk far more than others. And so the Bible warned us of talking too much and carelessly. Teachers, preachers are more susceptible to the misuse or the abuse of tongues, because the tongue has a power to preserve life or to do great harm to life. And that is why Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens his lips shall have destruction." A teacher can influence and affect more people by their words, for good or for evil. And teachers and preachers need to be careful to say things that is in alignment with God's word and will. And Proverbs 10:19 say this: "In the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." And so the more we talk, the more likely we are able to say something foolish or impulsive or wrong words. We may misquote a text, or we'll say something in the heart on the spur of the moment and later wish we could take it back later. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 13 remind us that a fool starts by talking foolishness and ends up saying crazy things that are dangerous. And so for those who use lots of words in their profession, and for those who talk a lot, they need to take counsel from this portion of the scripture seriously. So for example, I preach or teach almost every Sunday from this pulpit. Now, if I count the words that I preach or teach, each sermon that I deliver comprises about 4,000 words. So in just 1 year, just on sermon alone, I would have spoken 150,000 words. That is excluding my normal conversation with you. And so I need to take care not to speak impulsively or carelessly, because the more I speak, the more prone to mistake that I make in my words. And so number three reasons: teachers and preachers represent and teaches God's word. They better make sure that they do not misrepresent God's word by teaching the wrong doctrine or twisting God's word to manipulate the people. And these things do happen. If you look at all the various tele-evangelists, and sometimes you're just appalled some of the things that they say. And therefore, it is a very serious thing. And this is because whatever they say or teach whether it will do good or do harm, whether it's intentional or otherwise, will also affect the life and the faith of many hearers. And because it deals with the issue of salvation, life and death, issue of eternity, that is life beyond the grave, any serious misrepresentation of God and His Word has grave consequences. James goes on to say in verse 2, if we all stumble in many things, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, number 2, our tongue indicates our health and maturity. Now, James bring out the issue of the tongue that applies now to all Christians, not only teachers. And he says that in life, there are many things that cause us to stumble. But of all of them, the easiest thing that gets us into trouble or stumble us is our tongue. This is because the tongue is the most difficult thing to control. The Bible here says that from the tongue, one can tell the spiritual maturity and the health of a Christian. If you can control your tongue very well, then you are spiritually very mature. It says perfect. Conversely, if you cannot control your tongue well, you are immature. And therefore, spiritual maturity or health is not measured so much by the number of prayer meetings you attend, neither is your spiritual maturity measured by the number of dreams or visions that you receive, nor how anointed your preaching and teaching and prophecy is, but how you control your tongue and your speech. And it is no coincidental. There is also the parallel to the physical and the natural in terms of health. When we go and see a doctor for some medical checkup, the first thing that the doctor can find out, or rather ask you to do, is to open your mouth, stick out your tongue, and say, he looks at your tongue. Because the doctor can check out our preliminary health condition from our tongue. And so there are some telltale signs by observing the color and the texture of our tongue. And the red glossy tongue indicates that you suffer from some, your lack of some nutrients or vitamins. And if you have blurish or rather bluish purple tongue, that means there's some form of blood stagnation in your body. And if you have a yellow tongue, there is some digestive disorder, so on and so forth. And so, even psychiatrists also find out the health of your mind, of the patient, by their speech, whether their mind is sound or otherwise. And so, a tongue is very telling, not only physical, psychologically, but also spiritually. And so, verse 3, it says, indeed, we put bits in the horse mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. So, example number 1, just as a small bit in the mouth of a horse steers the direction, point number 3 is our small tongue determines our direction and our destiny. The tongue is a small organ of the body. It weighs only perhaps 60 to 70 grams. But yet it is so powerful because it controls and it determines our direction and our destiny. And so for illustration purposes, James compared the tongue to two simple but very powerful things. The first illustration is the bit of a horse mouth. And a tiny bit controls a massive, strong horse. And the rider pulls to the left or to the right. And then the horse goes in that direction. And it pulls the rein. And the bit tightens and the horse stops. And the 6-inch bit, weighing just a few ounces, can control a 1,000-pound horse. In other words, a small bit of a horse can control the direction of a massive horse. Verse 4, it goes on to say, look also at the ship. Although they are so large and driven by fierce wind, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilots desire. And so in this next example, The tongue is compared to a small rudder of a ship. A tiny rudder controls a big ship. And if a pilot turns the wheel to the right, the rudder steers the big ship to the right. And if he turns the wheel to the left, the rudder turns the destiny of the ship to the left. So just a small rudder can determine the direction and the destiny of the big ship. A small bit and a rudder both steers and control an object that is far bigger than itself. And so verse 5, and even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And so point number 4, a tongue like a spark, it can kindle a forest fire. Likewise, a tongue is a small organ of a body, yet it can produce great evil or enormous good. That is why Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Every time you open your mouth, either life or death comes out. Because the tongue has the power to influence life around us. We must learn to direct it properly. The power of the tongue is compared to how a little fire can kindle a forest fire. We live in Australia and we often witness bushfire. This is a bushfire period, it's hot summer. And most of the bushfire are started off by a little spark, kindled either by an arsonist, a cigarette butt lighting, or a malfunction of any electricity grid. It only takes a spark to start a fire and cause tremendous damage. And so in 2009, Australia experienced one of the worst bushfire in history. It is called Black Saturday bushfire in Australia. And it was a big disaster. 173 people died, 414 were injured, and more than a million wild and domesticated animals were lost. And 450,000 hectares of land were burned. And it was considered one of the darkest days in Australia peacetime history. So bushfire have always been lethal and costly. The destruction that a tongue can bring is no exaggeration. Let me give you an example. There was a man, very skillful and very sharp with his tongue. His name is Adolf Hitler. And between 1941 and 1945, through his many fiery speeches, he was able to ignite the fire of hatred in his audience. And his followers were mesmerized by his oratory. Hitler's tongue sparked the fire of hatred that led to the Holocaust, the slaughter of 6 million Jews. Therefore, words have the power to do enormous evil or good. And millions would die from the fires of hatred ignited by Hitler. Now you can see why words have the potential power of life and death. Loose tongue can sink a ship. It can destroy relationships, marriages and friendship. And it can spread rumors, split churches, incite violence and spill venom into the hearts of the willing and receptive hearer. Better restrain your tongue and say nothing when you are very angry. Your tongue determines the destiny of your spiritual walk. Our life is destined to go in one direction, either for good or evil, good or bad outcome. Good tongue reap good outcome. Bad tongue reap bad outcome. So watch out what comes out of your tongue regularly. Verse 6, though the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, the tongue is so set among our members that it defies the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. There are a few characteristics mentioned in this verse. It says that the tongue is a spark of fire with 4 potential characteristics. It is a fire of iniquity, number 1. Second, a member that can easily defile the body. That means it causes internal harm to the body. And then third, it destroyed the nature of a forest. That means it caused external harm. And then fourth, the origin of this fire is from hell, from the devil's domain in hell, and he is very well trained to use it for destruction. And so, point number five, our tongue here is highly susceptible to be used by the devil for destruction. Now how? Let me give you some example how the devil can use our tongue for destruction. One, gossip. Spreading rumors and sensational news about others. Even if the news is true, it does not mean it is not gossip. Because gossip is not determined by the truthfulness of the news, but the intent and the motive of the heart. Is there an evil or sinister intention of malice or causing harm to other person? Second example, malice. Speaking words to cause strife, hatred, division of the body, or speaking words to incite the crowd to rebellion, or speaking words to spite the other party. Sharp tongue can be more hurting than a sharp knife, because a knife can only wound the skin and the flesh. Sharp tongue has the potential to cut deep into the soul and the spirit. It can prolong damage to one's soul and spirit for many years, and especially sharp and hurtful words from parents and from loved ones. And then third area, slander. If the word being said is not true, it is called slander. It is called character assassination. And so you can see that all of the examples I mentioned, gossip, malice, slander, do harm or cause external harm to others. And in the process, when you do that, you are also defiling your own body. And so, verse 7 to verse 8, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And so, in short, point number 6, man can tame every animal, but he cannot tame his tongue. You just need to go to the circus to witness this statement. And in the circus, we see all kinds of animals, like elephants, lions, tigers, dolphins, falcons, and they have all been tamed by men. In the wild, the animal might kill you, but under the hands of a human trainer, the animals become tame, become compliant. And so the irony is, while mankind was able to subdue and tame this creature, but mankind cannot completely subdue his own little tongue. It remains unruly, uncontrolled, insubordinate, and openly rebellious. When James says no man can tame the tongue, he means no man in his own strength can completely tame his tongue. And though we all can control our tongue in some measure, some more than others, but under certain provocation, our anger gets the better part of us. Has this happened to you? Yes, it happened to me. Under certain situation, something being said hits your raw nerve. Suddenly, you feel the anger arising within you, like a volcano lava. And at that moment, you feel a strong justification to say whatever comes up in your mind or in your heart. You erupt in fury, in volcanic fury, and say things that you never thought you would say. And the devil supplies the spark, we succumb to it, and do the rest with the fury speech. And most of us have moments like this. And after the eruption is over, and you calm down after a few days, you just can't believe what you have said. And those things, at times, can do so much regrettable damage. And you wish you had not said it. So in the application here, how to avert the devil from using our tongue? Don't speak impulsively. I speak my mind. It's always the excuse people say. But I speak my mind is not always a noble thing. For two reasons. Not all the thoughts come from you. First, remember the devil often likes to sow those inflammatory words in your mind and in your heart to spark the fire from your tongue. He knows who is affected by white word. He studied our character for many, many years. There are demons assigned to do that job from the demonic kingdom. And so, he waits for an opportune time when you are angry with someone. He heard those thoughts into your mind. Hope that you will bite that bait and then you speak what he wants you to speak. And so, if you speak what he wants you to speak, you are responsible because you did it. Second reason, not all your thoughts are noble or good. Because we all have a fallen nature in us. And so, you need to review this so-called your life policy. You speak your mind. Be careful whether it is from the devil, it could be from your fallen nature. And so the words of wisdom from Proverbs is to say, be slow to speak, but quick to hear. Ever wonder why God created two ears and one mouth? Means listen more, talk less. Listen. Take some moments to process and think before you speak. If you are not sure at times, you don't have to say anything. Wise to be men of few but full words. Means not ask you to mute your mouth. Means don't speak more than necessary. Verse 9 to verse 10. With it we bless God and the Father. And with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so, point number 7. Human tongues are forked. They suffer from schizophrenia. Snakes have a forked tongue. And James say our tongues are sometimes forked. From the same tongue, we praise God and also curse people. We can say very nice things, but also very nasty things with the same organ. And though we are far from perfect, it does not give us the excuse for our callous and impulsive speech. We will always fight the battle of tongue until the day we die. And sometimes we'll win and sometimes we will lose. When we fail, we must say with James, these things ought not to be so. And so the first step of wanting a real change is to go to God. And those who have wrongly offended by our tongue, say sorry and ask for forgiveness. If we admit our weakness and pray for God's grace to change us, God will help us. Only then we will experience more victory in the days to come than previously. Over time, we should see transformation in our tongues for the better. And for some, even though the process may be slow, do not be discouraged. How do we eat a big elephant? Little by little, one piece at a time. We don't have to be stuck forever in the habit of impulsive and callous speeches. And so, verse 11 to verse 12. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive, or a grapevine bear figs? Does no spring use you both salt water and fresh? So point number 8. While human tongues suffer from inconsistency, nature does not have such contradiction or inconsistent behavior. And James illustrated in 2 ways. The first example is a spring water. You cannot have fresh and salt water coming from the same spring. Nature will be one or the other, never both. And likewise, from fruit trees, can a fig tree produce olive? Of course not. Apple tree always produce apples. It consistently produces fruits of its own. apple tree cannot produce orange and vice versa. And so here, our tongues are so inconsistent. Human tongues can be schizophrenic. We can bless and curse with the same tongue. It is an extraordinary contradiction. What havoc the tongue can wreak. What trouble it can cause. The tongue has a big potential for evil. And so, number 9. God designed 2 layers, not one, 2 layers, prison bars to guard our tongue. The first is the teeth, and then followed by our lips. It is a sign that we need to be doubly careful with our tongues. Because what we say matters a great deal. Consider what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 to verse 37. Because I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the judgment day. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In other words, on judgment day, we are all going to give an account to God for all our careless words. No one can escape that final judgment. It's a very frightening thing. And we have to answer for every callous and impulsive whatever words that we have said, whether it's a lie, so on and so forth. Nobody is going to answer for you on that day. And we all have to answer it for ourselves. So what is the application for us, having said so much? Now, I suggest 3 applications. And first, repent and ask God for forgiveness for all the past unresolved sins of the tongue. Deal with those past unfinished outstanding issues with the Lord before the judgment day, not on the judgment day. If you have not dealt with those idle and callous words you have uttered before, today is the day to go to the Lord, confess, repent, and ask God for forgiveness. When we have done that, we do not have to face those embarrassing moments on the judgment day, because it has been settled here on earth under the blood of Jesus. This applies as much to me, because I am a teacher of the word. I say much, much more words than you hear. And so, now, if you confess and repent, does this mean that you and I will never commit this sin of the tongue again? No. Periodically, it will happen again. But each time it happens, we go back to the Lord again. When we do it, we are making progress. The frequency of the wrongdoing of our tongue will be reduced. And so, in short, keep short account with God on earth rather than face God on the judgment day regarding this issue. Confess, repent, and ask for forgiveness while on earth. Number 2, deal with any unresolved heart issue. Now, when we lose our cool, we begin to criticize after very sharp and bitter words. And sometimes we give excuses or blame others for the problem. He made me say it, I'm under pressure. And we need to look deeper than that. Because the heart of the problem can be the problem of the heart. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, when the heart overflows, the mouth speaks. If we speak angry words, it is because our heart is filled with anger. If we speak loving words, it's because our heart is filled with love. If we deceive, it is because our heart is filled with deception. From bitter thoughts come bitter words. Whatever fills the heart often fills the mouth. And so the tongue speaks what the mind often thinks and the heart feels. And so do a self-audit. Reveal what comes out of your mouth. If there are a lot of bitter words, where did it come from? Because it comes from your heart. It's from the bitter heart. Because of past unresolved bitter experience. Because it has been unresolved, it is still in the heart. And so when the opportune time, it comes out from your mouth. Now, what if you have a lot of critical words? Because it comes from a defensive heart. Being criticized, looked down by others in the past. Unresolved humiliation perhaps. Or being looked down often in the past and still unresolved. Bringing upon yourself a low self-image. And so subconsciously, you develop a defensive heart. And always being critical of others. Whatever it is, go to the Lord for any unresolved heart issue. Be it anger, bitterness, or humiliation. Admit those issues. Don't say, I don't have such problem. Admit those issues. Present it to the Lord on the altar. And ask God to heal your heart in Jesus' name. Because you have come to heal the brokenhearted. Application number 3. Ask God to purify our lips through spiritual catheterization. James in this passage say, you can never fully control your tongue in your own power. Try as you might. Self-effort will never master a tongue set on fire by hell. Only heaven can replace the spark of hell in our mouth. Only Jesus can replace the fire of hatred with the sweet aroma of love and grace. Only God can change us inside out, and we desperately need help from God. I think it will help us if we recall the story of Isaiah's encounter with God in Isaiah chapter 6. And the prophet Isaiah saw God on the throne, His holiness, and he saw himself as a man of unclean lips. God then commanded the angel to take a redemptive action. And so the seraphim took a red coal fire to catheterize Isaiah's lip. Isaiah must have felt the excruciating pain of repentance for some moments. The dirt and the filth of his mouth was being burned away. He was refined by holy fire. In this traumatized experience of mouth cleansing, Isaiah experienced God's love and forgiveness that went beyond the lips. His whole being was being cleansed true to the core. This is a traumatic imagery. The picture that I've just shown you. And we need to recap. And you have lips being burned or catheterized. How would you speak? Because every time when you speak, you will be very careful. You will speak no more than necessary, because any small tongue or lip movement will be very painful. Right? So recap this imagery. May we always think about this so that we will not speak impulsively. So in conclusion, we praise God that His redemption and restoration is comprehensive. Though no man can tame the tongue, but God can. When we surrender our tongue to Him, He can give us a new lips and a new tongue. He can put new words in our mouth, and He can baptize our speech. And so it's time to say and pray, Heavenly Father, I've been using my tongue for myself. I'm now going to use it for You. Here are my lips. Let my mouth speak the words that honor You. And so I hope that this message has helped you, and we have to do the necessary. And so we are going to do something very practical today. Item 1 and item 3. Item 2, whatever hidden issues in your heart, you go back in your own time, you resolve it with the Lord. Whether it's bitterness, anger, or some unresolved issues in your heart, get Lord to take it away. Submit it to the Lord. Admit those things before Him and ask Him to heal your heart. But item 1, for every word, careless word that is not of the Lord, that you have said in the past that has not been dealt with, outstanding business, we want to come before the Lord and confess it and ask Him to forgive us so that we do not have to face those embarrassing moments on Judgment Day because it has been dealt on earth. And so that's the first thing. So, starting with me, in my, 15 years as a pastor of this church, I've spoken 150,000 words every year. You multiply that by 15, it's more than millions and millions of words. And so if anything that I say that is not of the Lord, out of my own impulse, I've hurt you, please forgive me. I'm serious about this because I don't want to face the Lord with a severe judgment. It is clearly written here. But I'm sure every one of us in our life, in one way or another, have failed in our tongue. And so we need to do business with the Lord. So if you want to deal with this issue right now, item number one, just you don't have to come to the front. You just stand where you are. You are not able to stand, you just raise up your hand. And I'm going to say a generic prayer. And the next item after this is ask God to purify our lips and our tongue through a spiritual cauterization. Because sometimes we say those things and we can't control our tongue. And as I said, when you do that, your use of the tongue will get better and better. Not that you will not sin again, but God knows in your heart that you want to deal with this issue and you want to submit and surrender it to Him. And so, business, outstanding business number one. If you want to do it, just stand. If not, you are fine to sit. I mean, if you think that you have not done anything wrong, that is fine as well. You don't have to stand. And so, as I said, I'm the number one culprit and I'm here standing before God and ask for His forgiveness. So I give you a minute or so to just ponder on those things and we're going to do it right now. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Starting with me, Lord, the number one culprit, because your words say that for teachers, we receive a stricter judgment. So Lord, I have taught your word, and I'm going to do it right in front of the people, and those people have also stand and want to come before you to confess those things that we have done wrong with our mouth. And the people that we may have hurt, we ask for your forgiveness. And we ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And we want to change. We want to repent of those sins. So as the next step, we ask that you will sanctify our lips. Cauterize our lips and tongue. That we will have new speech. Words that honor you. Words, Lord, that will be words of grace to the hearer. At times, yes, we may need to rebuke people just as you have rebuked us. But Lord, let those things, not because of our carnal nature, but because it is from you. So will we come here, Lord, before you and ask that you will do those things that we confess and ask of you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Can I get the musicians to come forward, please?